Big Joe here for B&W Plumbing, HVAC, and Electrical, your American Standard dealer getting ready for spring. It's time to spruce up your home for spring. And who better to trust than B&W Plumbing, HVAC, and Electrical? For over 60 years, they've been serving Central Indiana with integrity, hard work, and a commitment to excellence. Go to bpluswradio.com/radio to learn more. B&W Plumbing, HVAC, and Electrical is your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer serving Central Indiana for over six decades.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, February 1st. It is 5 minutes after 10. His name is Rob Kendall. My name is Casey Daniels, and you're listening to 93 WIBC. So a study by the Association of Indiana County shows that us Hoosiers could see an average of 15% increase in our residential property taxes this year. They did this study, and they came out and said that assessors base property taxes on fair market value, recent sales, and construction costs. And the gross assessed value increased statewide across all property classifications, including residential, apartments, agriculture, commercial, industrial, and personal property taxes. And residential taxpayers are going to see the largest tax bill in 2023, major increase this year.
Okay, so I had something happen to me last night, and I wanted to share it because then I confirmed it this morning. And you're very nice. I get criticized for being too negative. And it's always, you don't point out anything good. You just find all the bad. Well, there's not a lot of good to point out when it comes to the government. But when we do, I feel like one of the things we do here well, Casey, is that when government, on the rare, random, accidental, likely confused instance where government does something pro-taxpayer, we go out of our way to point it out and go, that was good for you, which is so rare that it ever happens. But I heard something yesterday, and it was so good, and it's what government should be. And it also enables us to point out how the people down the street from us have absolutely no idea what's going on. So the people down the street at 200 West Washington, what you hear over and over and over again, even though they knew for a year the assessments were skyrocketing and that property taxes were also going to skyrocket, mm-hmm. was you kept hearing, well, we're going to need more data, mm-hmm. because, we're really threading a needle here. We definitely don't want to, like, disrupt the local governments because that could really harm them. Mm-hmm. Now, that's laughable because the whole premise of the tax caps to begin with, we go way back in our 15-year time machine to 2008, was that local governments were completely out of control. They were being totally irresponsible with our money, and people marched to the statehouse and said, our homes are not irresponsible local government's personal piggy bank. Apparently, the people who are making the choices now either have zero understanding of history, aren't even curious about history, whatever, because I keep hearing over and over and over again, well, you know, it's a really a balancing act here because we don't want to disrupt the local governments. Mm-hmm. And to these people, I say, you have no idea how much money these local governments are actually consuming and what they're doing with the money. And these elevations that we're seeing in assessments are going to be on top of the stuff they're already doing. And so I was at my chiropractor last night, and of course I would be the guy who talks politics with the chiropractor, Dr. Joel Starnes, very fabulous human being. And every time I say his name, he says, I get several calls and I can't tell people that they're calling the right place because I can't tell them that you actually go here. And I said, but I already told people I go there. Very fabulous. So we were shooting the breeze, and he's somewhat involved in the local governments and out there in Pittsburgh. And he was telling me that Lincoln Township, so that is where I live in the town of Brownsburg. So I'm governed by two bodies, Casey. There's two layers of government that help take care of me. The town mm-hmm. itself, and we've talked many times about the horrific nature in which they govern, but then the township, mm-hmm. and he told me that the township has so much money where I live, the government that people like Jim Lucas are so concerned about that we can't dare disrupt them. They have so much money in their savings account mm-hmm. on top of what they get each year that they have nothing to do with this money because they do so little as a township. They help fund the fire territory and they provide poor relief and they mow some cemeteries. Like that's all they do. They have so much money that they are considering exploring whether they can suspend even leveling property taxes as part of the property tax bill.
Fantastic.
And so I said, you must be mistaken, but you are a brilliant chiropractor and a man of immense integrity, Dr. Joel. You must be mistaken. So I know a couple people on the township board, and I called one of them, my good friend Mark Teakin, who is also a fabulous person. I said, is this true, Mark, that you have so much money that you are considering suspending all property taxes leveled by the township? He said, yes, that is absolutely true. I said, well, how much money do you have in your bank account? He said, we have roughly $800,000 sitting in our bank account with nothing to do with the money. The other township that governs Brownsburg, Brown Township, has even more, $1 million with nothing to do with it. And so, first of all, I want to commend the fact that the township is saying, hey, we have nothing to do with this money. We're collecting it for no reason. Let's figure out if we can actually suspend a property tax levy, which they're going to do. We're going to try to get one of these people on to explain this. But it points out to you, Casey, that these people down the street from us who claim to be so concerned about not disrupting local governments have so little idea about what's going on that I am sure there are many, many agencies of local government, townships especially, who could be, if they wanted to be, like the responsible people in Lincoln Township who are saying, we have nothing to do with this money.
We don't need it.
And we're forced to keep collecting it. So these people down the street are fighting a battle for a group of people who don't need, nor in many cases even want, the battle being fought for them. I guarantee that Lincoln Township Board would tell you that these people at 200 West Washington, if you could reform property taxes and help the people, great, because we are just sitting on money. We are like Scrooge McDuck. We are sliding down the slide of coins going wee into another giant, bigger pile of coins.
Wee. So how long would they suspend it for?
Well, they're talking about a year.
Okay.
And boy, where have you heard before, Casey? Let's suspend property taxes for a year. If the whole world doesn't fall apart, then we, you know, then we can decide. Or let's you know, suspend assessments at a previous level for a year. Where have you heard that before? Oh, right here. No, people are actually trying to do it. Local governments confiscate so much of your money. It is ridiculous how much money floods in. It is ridiculous the idea that these lawmakers, these supposedly Republican lawmakers, are dying on the hill of local governments who were the whole reason we had the tax caps to begin with, because they're acting like they can't do without. I've been an elected official in local government. I promise you, not only can they do without, many local governments would be far better if they had to do without, because they would get better at governance.
They'll see some growth then. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Oh, well, we're going to move in the area. Where are we going to go? Well, how about the township that's not charging for property taxes? Minton County is the only other county in the state that did not increase property taxes this year. Four counties increased by 20%. Now, think people want to live there?
Well,
No.
Right, but they don't care. This is the point. They have no idea what's going on. They're doing absolutely no research, and they are dying on a hill for a group of people who in many cases have so much money, they already don't know what to do with the money. Now, I wanted to read an email that I got from a listener, because this listener listens to the show, like a good listener, recognizes we've got to get involved. We've got to be, you know, a part of the process. We got to be, you know, finding solutions. And we've told you the number one thing you need to do is to contact your legislators.
Right.
You need to write them. You need to call them. You need to reach out to them and tell them, stop stealing our money. Because that's why these Republicans listen to the angry red-shirted teachers, because they are loud. They show up and look, I don't mean you should violently intimidate anyone, but they in mass numbers intimidate politically these lawmakers into doing what they want, because they're worried, oh my gosh, there's so many of these people. So this guy, Tim, I think is his name, wrote his representative, a guy named Chuck Goodrich, and House District 29, I'm not sure exactly where that is, but anyway, doesn't matter. So he wrote him and said, hey, dude, like, you guys are sitting on $1,500 of my money. You gave me $200 of it back. You threw yourselves a parade. Now you're proposing expanding the new budget by as much as $5 to $5.5 billion, which would increase the biennial budget Let's see, what would that be to? About $43 billion. How about you just take 7 seconds and help me with my property taxes that are going up 15, 20, 30% instead of just throwing more money at the government and the angry red-shirted teachers, which is where we know the money's going to go because half the state budget goes to K-12 education. Here is the response that Tim got from Chuck Goodrich, who is supposedly a Republican. Keep in mind, they're proposing the budget expand by as much as $5 billion to go to government stuff. Dear Timothy, thank you for reaching out and voicing your concerns with spending in this year's budget. While I am no fan of unnecessary spending, Indiana is currently operating at a budget surplus, showing our spending habits have proven to be efficient and minimal. I would also like to remind you that due to the budget surplus, last year the Indiana Department of Revenue sent out an automatic taxpayer refunds to all Hoosiers as a way of reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
When the budget comes up for debate in the House, I will be sure to keep your thoughts in mind.
Yeah. So we're going to take more than we need, and then we'll give a little bit back, and then you should be grateful for that. That's what he said.
So in Chuck Goodrich's mind, $43 billion... in a state of 7 million people, all the $43 billion is necessary spending. And it just so happens that, well, $5 billion of new spending is totally necessary. Chuck, what if we hadn't had the $5 billion? What would you have done? These people are supposed to be Republicans. And then he acts like he's done this guy, Tim, a favor because he gave him $200 of the $1,500 he took. And he's acting like these budget surpluses are good.
Mm-hmm.
Budget surpluses are overtaxation. This is what the Indiana Republican Party has become. That email from Chuck Goodrich is everything that the Indiana Republican Party has become. $43 billion of new spending. It's all necessary. Or of total spending. $5 billion of new spending. It's all necessary. Surpluses are great. Overtaxation is great. And you getting a fraction of what we overtaxed you on is also wonderful. That's the Indiana Republican Party.
Sounds like the Indiana Republican Party needs to work on their P&L statements.
Dude,
taking this much, you spend this much.
You think anybody down there, any of those elected officials, actually know what a P&L statement is?
Profit and loss. 17 minutes after 10, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Yeah!
Going places that I've never been.
Possibly being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year, Willie Nelson. 20 minutes after 10, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
You couldn't even pick the song, like, some sense of sentimentality, like, at least Always on My Mind.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of a love song.
Did you not listen to the lyrics? On the road and making music with his friends.
You know, when I hear this...
That speaks to Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about you, Kevin. It's the Kevin and Kendall and Casey show. Yeah, Kevin, you're the guy who spent years whittling away at that board, working 12-hour days, doing multiple air shifts in addition to your real job. Yeah, I did all of that so I could have Willie Nelson's On the Road Again played as my bumper music. Thanks, Kevin.
We've made it. We've made it to this point.
Truly grateful on this day. Thank you. That's what Tom Brady said when he announced this morning that he is retiring again.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first, so I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year, so really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Okay, you played that in hour one, and now you've played it now, and we're done playing that because I'm done with him.
You only get to retire once.
You only get the crocodile tears one time. Same thing with Brett Favre. Like, dude, you had your chance. You blew it. You should have stayed retired. You probably lost your marriage because of it. I hope coming back to go 8-9 and go out in the first round of the playoffs was totally worth it.
He didn't go out on top this time, did he? But he is looking forward to a nice paycheck in the broadcast booth.
Yeah, he's going to have a $37.5 million annual landing, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, nice.
More than I make here. And you know what? He won't have to have On the Road Again as bumper music for football on Fox.
You never know. He might. Also trending this morning is Elton John. His farewell tour has set a record as the highest grossing all-time concert tour, making nearly $820 million. $820 million for Elton John on tour. And finally trending, Money Magazine every year comes up with their annual list of best places to live in the United States. This year, the award went to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, in years past, Carmel, Indiana has made the list. In fact, last year, Carmel ranked at number 2 on the list. This year, didn't do as well. They still did pretty good, Carmel did, but this year, it came in at number 19 on the list.
Oh, crap! I just realized, what is today?
February 1st. It's a Wednesday. All day.
I have been so busy carrying you people on this show, I didn't even realize what day it was.
What are you talking about?
It is the start of the Bruce Springsteen tour. The first one in 7 years.
Oh, man. That's important stuff. Hey, let's talk about Frasier.
Look at what you people have done for me. I am like the giving tree. You have taken my limbs. You have taken my trunk. I am but a... my apples. I am but a stump now that I don't even realize when these big things happen.
That's because you need to pay more attention to Willie Nelson. You know, he might be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
Okay? And who is so deserving.
I would take Willie Nelson over Bruce.
Oh.
And we all know why that is, Kevin. The tour bus. The tour bus stop for Kevin.
He seems like a cool guy to hang out with.
He is a cool guy to hang out with. He's very gentle.
Have you met Willie Nelson?
I have. I've been on that tour bus.
And?
It smells like cannabis.
Uh-huh. What were you doing on that tour bus?
Hanging out. He's like a very gentle old grandpa. Very sweet man.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you had a great experience.
It would be cool to smoke a joint with him.
The redheaded stranger.
Kevin!
Can you say that on broadcast? You're paying the fine.
Yeah,
man.
That was totally Kevin who said that.
That was a hypothetical thing.
Kevin McNamara said that. Can we, let's move on.
Yes.
And talk about Frasier and the revival show. So I know how you feel about reboots.
Yes.
But this one you're kind of excited
for. Well, I'm totally torn on this because it flies in the face of everything I've been telling our audience, which is totally accurate, that reboots are almost always horrific. I mean, not almost always. I mean, they basically are. I mean, have we come up with any reboots? Didn't we talk about that one day? Are there any reboots that were
great?
Good? I mean, even good.
Yeah. No, not really. They're never as good as the original.
Because, like, Frasier was an extension of Cheers, but it was not a reboot of Cheers. It was this side character now has his
Moving
own show.
On. Yeah.
I mean, that 90s show, did I tell you I watched that? That was terrible.
Yeah, I know you said you watched Night Court.
I watched Night Court.
Awful.
That was terrible. However, so everything leads me to believe that I know this will be awful. However, Kelsey Grammer is such a phenomenal actor. And he doesn't need the money, and there's no way that he would put himself in a position. So the reason we're talking about this is a script has leaked out, or at least the cover of a script, and they did it deliberately. It wasn't like it wasn't, you know, accidental. It deliberately got out. They wanted it out there about what they're calling the new first episode that's coming out to get some hype about it.
It's called The Good Father,
which is a play on the original episode of Frasier from the first run. Was called The Good Son,
right?
And I just cannot imagine that Kelsey Grammer, being such a distinguished actor, he doesn't need the money, would put himself in a position to do something that would not be up to the very high standards by which he sets for himself. So, and I love Frasier. It took place in a radio station. It was such a great show. The characters were so great. I know the dad is no longer with us. I know David Hyde Pierce is not going to be a part of it.
Right.
But I just cannot imagine that Kelsey Grammer would put himself in a position where he would let his fans out. In fact, a couple of years ago, when this first started kind of becoming a potential thing, he got asked about it.
Well, my hope is that we can bring it back. We're sort of shopping for the right idea, because I don't think we should pick up like Will and Grace has done a continuation now, but it's basically like the next day after the last time they were on the air. It picked up right where they left off. I don't think that's appropriate for Frazier because he was leaving town at the end of the show previously.
He said, "Our brave little soldier continues on in life, finding new challenges and a new love and new people in a new city and stuff like that." It's a good thing that he was a psychiatrist in Frazier because he could have never afforded that sweet pad that he lived in working at a radio station. But how about playing the same role for years? I mean, he was Frazier on Cheers. He was Frazier in Frazier. And now he's going to be Frazier again in this new reboot.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to give this a shot just because Kelsey Grammer is such a phenomenal actor, and that was such a phenomenal character, and I'm sure it'll blow up in my face, and I will say I should have trusted my gut, which is these reboots never work. But I'm going to give it a shot, Casey.
Okay, so he's going to carry on the show. Will the chemistry be the same? Because the cast surrounding him will be different. It could be better, could be worse. Don't know. It's not going to be on broadcast TV, by the way. It's going to be on Paramount Plus.
Oh, great! My dad gets that.
So you'll have to need a subscription.
I don't need anything. When your dad is your neighbor, you can force him to pay for all the stuff.
It's probably a good thing that it won't be on network TV because sitcoms these days on network TV are somewhat unwatchable. But the good thing for Kelsey Grammer is that he does have a built-in audience already. He's not starting from zero with this.
Lots of voicemails.
Yeah. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and we're going to hear from you coming up next.
I'm so sorry you have just reached my answering machine.
317-684-8444. That's the phone number here with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. If you'd like to contribute, we do enjoy your phone calls.
Yes, so we got multiple phone calls, and this is our show. Somehow we got on dropping your phone in the toilet yesterday. How did we do that?
Well, we were talking about retro phones, cell phones that people like. Uh-huh. And I had written an article on WIBC.com about ways people ruin their phones.
Oh, yes.
And 8% of people drop theirs in the toilet.
That's right. Okay, yes. So, of course, you know, life-altering things like property taxes or, you know, whatever, very pulling teeth. But if it comes to dropping your phone in the toilet, well, people cannot get enough of that. Go ahead.
So, $10 says you ran out of gas. But just remember, Casey, it's your lie. You can tell it any way you want. But you guys are talking about dropping your phone in the urinal or the toilet. There's a simple way to prevent that. It's a little creepy, but you just have a guy in the bathroom handing out stickers. Right, Jeff?
Wow, there was a lot going on there. Okay.
It's true. If they're holding a sticker, then they won't be holding their phone. So if anything, they just drop the sticker in the toilet.
Right, or they could use the sticker to stick their phone to their hand.
Something
multiple
like
use
that.
For the sticker.
I guess there's multiple uses for the sticker.
So in case you were not aware, I think everybody is by now, Kevin went to a concert last week, and at the concert thought it would be a strong idea to hand out stickers for his band Uno Gold to other grown men in the restroom.
Shameless promotion.
Okay. Another phone call about dropping your phone in the toilet.
Okay.
Yeah, my name is Angelo. I'm the poorest conservative in Carmel. And I ruined a cell phone by dropping it in the toilet when it fell out of my shirt pocket. Very common for guys. Oh. So from now on, I've got it in my front pants pocket, so won't do that. Thank you.
Yesterday, I went to use the restroom after the show, and I had my phone out, and the entire time I thought, karma's going to get me.
You're dropping it.
Because I was talking about how easy it was to use the restroom, the urinal, while holding onto your phone.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, karma is going to get me on this one. And
it's
thankfully, I did not drop my phone in the toilet.
He said that he had it in his pocket, in his shirt, and dropped it while taking out of your pocket or your purse is the number one way people break their phone. 25% of people do it like
now,
that.
Now, here's the thing, though, Casey. In case of a urinal, and it would need a deep cleaning.
Gross.
But you would not necessarily destroy your phone just by dropping it in a urinal, because there's not that much, you know, water there or whatever.
I would not know.
Right. Oh, I know you wouldn't know. Kev would know.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Got a lady who is upset at us for about something with Trump.
Oh. I don't understand what you guys are talking about. Trump is the author of the MAGA movement. And what has he done not to be president after everything he's been through?
So this, okay, yes, right. So this is where when we say the things that other people are saying about why they don't like Trump, people get mad at us, even though it's not the reasons I don't like Trump. Look, I think saying Mika Zhezinski bleeding badly from a facelift is hilarious. I think calling Stormy Daniels horse face is hilarious. But I am not the person that Donald Trump needed or needs or whatever to convince to vote for him. You know who it is? Suburban women. And the reality is that stuff really turns a lot of people off. Look, Donald Trump, like the idea that Trump didn't do anything bad when he was president, Donald Trump's behavior during COVID was egregious. Donald Trump approved $5 trillion of spending that, as we played the audio earlier, was so egregious that James Comer, who's heading oversight, is now calling hearings to investigate waste fraud, how much waste, fraud, and abuse, and how much money ended up in the hands of criminals. Donald Trump signed up on that. He was the president. Donald Trump was the vaccine cheerleader in chief. He's still bragging about it. There's a lot of stuff Trump did that was okay. His tax reform, pretty good. Put the, for the first time, gave the breaks to the businesses and said, hey, we're going to put the onus on you to create the jobs. It worked. Now, even pre-COVID, he did a lot of deficit spending that wasn't very good. He grew a lot of government. We're all adults here. We should be able to have an honest conversation about every politician, Trump, Todd Young, Jim Banks, Andre Carson, whoever. And as grown-ass people, we don't get offended if someone gives us factual information that we don't like.
Trump did something yesterday. Was it yesterday when he came out about the, was it the mandatory vaccines? What did he say yesterday? Oh, no, it was about the...
This is live radio.
No, it, yes, I know. And it was...
We're live, pal. Is that distracting?
Not at all.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, when
I'm here to help.
Well, it goes back to what Rachel Levine, the admiral, the secretary of Health and Human Services, Trump came out and said that he was going to outlaw the... you know, mutilation of children for the gender ideology.
Right,
movement.
Which is fine.
And I think a lot a lot of people are really on his side with that.
But yes, but here's the thing. Trump did not lose because Trump had bad policies. Now, he had some really egregious policies. That COVID stuff, the pushing of the shots, the spending. I mean, Trump's behavior during COVID, he totally broke down. There was nothing conservative about it. There was nothing liberty-minded about it. There was nothing freedom-oriented about it. Trump was a very big driver in the states being bribed to shut down. So if we're going to have the MAGA movement, this and that, we're going to have an honest conversation here. We should be able to do that. And the reality is, there are millions and millions of people who would vote for almost any other Republican who will not vote for Donald Trump. You can hate me for saying it, but it's true, and I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, and Ron DeSantis is already has $90 million remaining in his bank account from his governor election,
yes,
which he could use towards a presidential campaign. So Ron DeSantis is already starting with his coffers full.
Yes, and look, we should all want a robust primary. We just talked about this with being disappointed in Mitch Daniels for being bullied and intimidated by Jim Banks to not run for Senate. And that's weird that that will be how Mitch Daniels went out the door, being bullied and intimidated by Jim Banks.
Or having the most common sense out of anybody.
No, he was bullied and intimidated. That's the narrative on this show, Casey.
Okay. That's your narrative.
You can disagree with me. It's fine.
I am disagreeing with you on that because I think Mitch Daniels took a look. He vetted. He went to Washington. He talked to people and he said, no, this ain't my game, man.
Yeah,
I'm out.
He definitely said, I don't want Rob Kendall on the air every day talking about the reality of my time as governor.
Yes.
And all the tax increases and growth of government. Yeah. Anyway, point is, we should want a robust primary. So if you're a Trump person, the same way as if you're a Jim Banks person, you should want someone to challenge your guy or your girl or whoever, because that makes them better people. Whoever side you're on, DeSantis, Trump, whoever, those two running against each other will make whoever wins a markedly better candidate. The same way as if Mitch Daniels had run, whoever would have won, Banks or Daniels, would have been a markedly better senator. That's what we should want.
Yeah, because it's somebody else holding you accountable.
got a call from somebody who was very concerned about me. And I love it when our listeners are concerned.
Well, this message is really for you. Casey, I love your attitude and the way you handle the show. Rob, you used to handle the show in a respectable way. And I mean this in your own human being wealth and health. You get so wound up, you know, it's not good for your heart. You're going to have high blood pressure. You know, and you know, you give out a good, you know, good example of the way, you know, Trump gets so wound up, and instead of stopping at A and B, and he says C, D, and F, it makes people mad. Well, you get so wound up sometimes that your point is you've made your point at A and B, but you continue to rail, and that's your right. You have a, it's you and Casey's show, okay? I understand that. I'm just leaving you this message, you know, because I think the world of you guys. I really do. And I just, you know, for your own personal health.
And he went on. I mean, the guy was very nice. And I mean, we're not playing to mock him. I mean, he was very nice. He was very concerned. He went on about 2 minutes, and we just can't play that whole phone call. Casey, are you concerned for my health?
What's your blood pressure? Have you had that checked
every
lately?
Time I go to the doctor, it's phenomenal.
You're good?
Oh, yeah.
I just had mine checked yesterday. It was 108 over 80, so I'm good. But he's saying less is more.
Yeah.
Huh?
Now, Mike, go ahead, Kevin. Yeah.
I was going to ask if that was your mentor. He's 10 years older than you, and he's given you some advice.
I had a mentor, Kevin, and that was not my mentor. Mentor told me how to do things, and it involved making the same mistakes that he made. I'm trying to prevent you from making the same mistakes that I made.
Well, I think his point was something that Matt Hiblin, our boss, says all the time.
Yes.
Don't repeat yourself. Make your point and then move on.
Here's the thing, though. Did he make the...
Did you hear that, Matt?
Hi, Matt. Did he make the same phone call? Because I get fired up about people doing egregious stuff in the government, right? And I appreciate that he's concerned about my health. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I got out of the government and came here is because I can do this here.
Yeah.
I couldn't do off the rails when I was sitting at an elected official meeting, right?
Yeah.
Because, and we've talked about this, I do not want to run for public office again because I don't want to cut the bull crap. This is actually my catharsis, right? Mm-hmm. Casey knows this. Mm-hmm. I'm incredibly calm in my personal existence. I'm actually a pretty nice guy.
It's true.
Weirdly
true.
I get it all out here. In sports, they say leave it all on the field.
Yeah, this is you leaving it
every day. I leave it on the field. And the lawmakers who are doing the stuff, the elected officials who are doing the stuff, they are the bad people in the equation. That phone call, and I appreciate you caring about me, I'll be fine. And there's nothing I'd rather have than to go here, right? Mm-hmm. What happened to Rob? He bit the bullet during a Holcomb rant.
Right.
From 9 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday, it's like a therapy session for you.
I get it all. Leave it all on the field.
Mm-hmm. You just care so much.
I do. And that's my problem. I care too much.
It's the passion coming out.
Again.
And I think people appreciate that.
The giving tree, right?
Yeah, exactly. You just keep giving and giving. Yeah. And so does Hammer, and he's going to join us next on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Thank you.
They're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No, they're not. They've never even been nominated. How has Styx never been nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
We're going to go through that list with Hammer in just a second. It is 10:49. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And Hammer, while you're in here, we should say congratulations to our big-time listener, Drake, and his wife. He posted on Twitter yesterday that they're expecting a baby.
I told everyone at the latest, a night with WIBC, someone's getting pregnant tonight. And lo and behold, if you look at the time frame, I think I was right.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Mrs. Drake. Now, what's funny is during the commercial break, Casey was looking at Rob and I, and you just asked the question, should we say congratulations to Drake?
Yeah.
And I thought you meant the rapper. I was like, no, screw him.
I know. I was like shocked at you for a second. And then you realized I meant our listener.
But his wife is expecting. Oh, that Drake.
Drake.
Yes.
Different Drake.
He is probably, of all the, I mean, we love every single one of our listeners. He is probably the biggest WIBC fan.
And he's a good dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I worked with him at the casino in Shelbyville for a little bit.
Oh, but that was wild.
Well, he was like the security staff. So, like, I'd get the people riled up and he'd have to throw them right out. Absolutely. Congratulations to Drake.
Okay. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations are out. We covered this earlier. Clearly, there is one, just no questions asked, should be a unanimous vote. Warren Zevon, finally, 20 years after his death, nominated for the first time.
I haven't heard the list yet. So this is all new to me.
Well, here, I'll run it down for you really quick. Iron Maiden, Sheryl Crow, Willie Nelson, The White Stripes, Missy Elliott, Joy Division, New Order, George Michael, The Spinners, Soundgarden, Warren Zevon, Kate Bush, A Tribe Called Quest, Rage Against the Machine, and Cyndi Lauper.
So you're going to put Misdemeanor Elliott in, but yet Styx is not in?
Foreigner never even nominated. Boston never nominated. REO Speedwagon never nominated. Why do we even call this the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anymore?
So who has a more ridiculous Hall of Fame? Major League Baseball or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Okay, this is a great question. Did I not say that earlier? I said this has become a bigger joke than the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm more upset about the Baseball Hall of Fame because I care more about baseball, and it has really ruined it for me that they have ruined the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, how is Curt Schilling, arguably the greatest postseason pitcher of all time, not in? But, and no offense, because I know he's an Indiana guy, but Scott Rolen or somebody like Harold Baines.
Right.
What is going on here?
So the all-time home run leader in Major League Baseball, Barry Bonds. Like it or not, he is. Now, do I think he juiced? Absolutely. Because his head went from the size of a raisin to a watermelon. Same thing with Mark McGwire and all these dudes. But if you're going to celebrate the game and you're not going to put an asterisk next to their total, you're not going to do these things, they should probably go in.
That's a great point. We should put the asterisk because I wholeheartedly believe they should not be in. You also love known cheater and convicted felon Pete Rose, who should not be in, but you think Rose should be in.
Yeah, it's not a Hall of Fame for do-gooders. It's a baseball Hall of Fame, and the baseball player had more hits than anybody.
And Joe Jackson should be in too, then.
Yeah, yeah, I'm down
asterisk,
for this stuff.
Asterisk or no asterisk next to Pete Rose? Should it just be Pete Rose?
So here's the way, and I've thought about this. This is the way you handle the steroid guys and cheaters and so forth. You put them in, you have a plaque, and then at the very end of the plaque, Barry Bonds played during the steroid era of 1993 through whatever.
Right.
And then people can kind of make their own claims after that. And that's, you're out for getting Bonds in, Roger Clemens in, a lot of these dudes.
I will make you a deal. I will concede on Barry Bonds, who I just totally despise, if they put on his plaque, his head during that time went from the size of a grape to the size of a watermelon. Deal? Have we struck a compromise?
Maybe that'll work for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too, if there's an asterisk next to Willie Nelson.
Why do they do this?
Like, not really rock and roll, but asterisk then country artist.
Why do they call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Why don't they just call it, this is the Music Hall of Fame?
Right. 100%. If you're going to be the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it should be rock and roll people. And if it's just going to be a Music Hall of Fame, then fine, do that. But you can't tell me that some of these bands you mentioned, Styx and, you know,
Foreigner. How is Foreigner not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Boston, on the first album alone, REO Speedwagon, Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore, one of the 10 greatest songs ever written. I don't understand this at all.
And every time we talk about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I make this statement, and I stand by it. It's as true today as it was the last time I said it. Weird Al Yankovic deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Or without an asterisk?
None.
Okay.
He checks every box.
Yeah, you're right.
It's record sales. Mm-hmm. It's tour revenue. Mm-hmm. It's pop culture significance. He's done movies. Yeah. He's done TV.
You're right.
He's done music. He checks every box.
Does he have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Does he?
I have never even heard of a tribe called Quest. Have you ever heard of them?
Yes. Hip-hop group from the 90s, like late 80s, early 90s.
Hip-hop group, right? Like, that's what you think, right? Mm-hmm. Even, like, Run DMC could say, well, we did the thing with Aerosmith. So even they had at least a rock and roll type of hit. Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of these people.
You're really not a hip-hop guy, though.
Welcome to the party, pal.
All right, Hammer, what do you think about Tom Brady retiring again?
So this is going to be problematic for me because every time I cut my grass shirtless, people drive by and they think, oh, my God, Tom Brady has moved into the neighborhood. Oh, wait, it's football season. That must be Jason Hammer. But now that he's retired, I'm going to get this more and more.
Mm-hmm, you poor thing.
Can you recreate that car wash video you and Nige did? Because I think you're even bigger and fatter than you were then. Although you lost all that weight, so I don't know. But that car wash video you did was one of the great cinematic masterpieces. Can't believe the Academy overlooked that when handing out the awards that year.
Best supporting actor, Ben Polizzi, in that.
Absolutely.
Very good looking, in shape dude. And then there was Nigel and I.
Yeah, and he's still good looking and in shape, and you're still you. What's coming up this afternoon?
Biggest stories of the day, and Casey will come by for a little side piece action.
All right. Thanks, Hammer. It's Thank Kendall you. And Casey on 93 WIBC.